Chapter 10. Preparing to Leave. Earlier on the day of execution, Madame Defarge made up her mind. She could not trust her husband. He would not pursue the doctor's family to destruction. Therefore, she would take matters in her own hands. She would go to the family's apartment. At the doctor's apartment, Miss Pross was making final arrangements. Like Mr. Lorry and Carton, Miss Pross had papers that allowed her to leave at any time. Mr. Lorry had told her to leave at 3 o'clock. They would all meet again by the sea before sailing for England. Miss Pross looked at her watch. It was 2:20. She had no time to lose. She got a basin of cold water and began washing her eyes, which were swollen and red. Every few moments, she would look around to see that there was no one watching her. In one of those pauses, she stopped and cried out. Someone was standing in the room. The basin fell to the ground and the water flowed to the feet of Madame Defarge. Madame Defarge looked coldly at Miss Pross and asked, "The wife of Evrémonde, where is she?" Madame Defarge's dark eyes watched all that Miss Pross did. Miss Pross, in return, measured Madame Defarge with her eyes. Madame Defarge knew full well that Miss Pross was the family's friend. Miss Pross knew full well that Madame Defarge was the family's enemy. "I am not afraid of you," returned Miss Pross. "I am certainly your match." Each spoke in her own language. Neither understood the other's words. Both watched each other carefully and, from the look and manner of the other, tried to understand what the words meant. Madame Defarge called out, "Citizen Doctor, wife of Evrémonde, are you here?" The silence of the apartment whispered to Madame Defarge that they were gone. Madame Defarge went to open one of the bedroom doors. Miss Pross grabbed the other woman around the waist with her arms. With the strength of love, always so much stronger than hate, Miss Pross held her tight. She lifted her from the floor while they struggled. Madame Defarge's hands went to her waist. She felt there for the small gun that she carried. Madame Defarge raised her hands. Miss Pross looked up, saw the gun, and struck at it. There was a flash and a crash. Then Miss Pross stood alone, blinded by smoke. All this was in a second. As the smoke cleared, Miss Pross saw the dead body on the floor before her. Her legs were weak on the stairs. She had to sit a moment and cry before she could regain her strength. Then it was 3 o'clock, and Miss Pross hurried out to find a carriage to take her away from Paris. 3 o'clock was also the time when the carts arrived at the place of execution. The 52 were put in a line to take their turn at La Guillotine. "Keep your eyes upon me, dear child," Sidney Carton told the young woman. "Mind no other object." "I mind nothing while I hold your hand. I shall mind nothing when I let it go, if they are quick." "They will be quick. Fear not." Her hand did not tremble as he released it, and she took her place before the guillotine. The women watching counted 22. Carton stepped before the guillotine as 23. If Sidney Carton had the chance to record his thoughts as he went to the guillotine, they would have been these. "I see Bersaud and Defarge dying by this instrument before its present use is stopped. I see a beautiful city and a brilliant people rising to be truly free. I see the lives for which I lay down my life, peaceful, useful, and happy, in that England which I shall see no more. I see her with a child who bears my name. I see that child as a man winning his way up in that path of life which once was mine. I see him winning it so well that my name is made great by his achievements. I see him bringing a boy of my name to this place. I hear him tell the child my story. It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known."